Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where EV enthusiasts share their experiences with Chase has his Lightning. I have nothing right now. Owners. But all jokes aside, we talk about all things electric vehicles and technology. We don't have Will because Will, as you guys already know, started a new job. And so unfortunately for now, he's unable to join us on Wednesday nights, but we are trying to work that out. But what I wanted to talk about today, I mean, obviously there's some news, right? We have today Q1 numbers came out for a lot of the auto, especially EV manufacturers. Mm-hmm. So I want to cover some of that stuff. There's some news with the GMC Sierra and upcoming variants that I want to kind of cover. There's also mm-hmm. a few YouTube videos that went online on YouTube the past week or so, kind of helping debunk Mark Rober and his test of where he showed his Model Y going through a fake wall or fake landscape. And so we're going to go over that video as well. And then we have some little things here and there. First thing first is we want to say a big hello to Jay. Jay's in chat. Mark's in chat. As always,
howdy, howdy.
Appreciate you guys. Mark's already, he's already on me. He's saying, wait till the Sierra AT4, the Silverado Trail Boss comes out. Yeah. So I guess we'll just get into that real quick. So, yeah. And so now Chris.
Some test drives, right? Recently?
Yeah. And Chris is right now from Accelerating Tech. He's in there talking about the Sierra and Silverado question marks. So yeah, I posted my video this week on my test drives and my time I spent with the Sierra and Silverado EVs. And I'm not going to lie, those things are not only very, very nice, I'm probably going to get beat up a lot for this. they drive very similar to the Cybertruck. Now, Let me explain it. Cybertruck drives much better. But what I mean by that, and if you watch the video, mm-hmm. when I drove the Hummer felt like I was in a big, like a tank. I felt big. I felt high. I felt mm-hmm. like there's muscle behind the thing, you know, like an old muscle car, you know, you hit the gas pedal and it's, you know, you feel that mm-hmm. rumble. And that's kind of how you feel. Like even in the video, I note that when you hit the accelerator, literally the front end of the Hummer lifts up. Mm-hmm. Like if there was an engine in there that was just lifting you. Obviously that's simulated, I'm assuming, right? But you have that feeling of like, man, I'm in this big, you know, vehicle, which I'm not going to lie, I like that because I come from big trucks. So I like being higher up and big. Mm-hmm. The Silverado and the Sierra, you're lower to the ground. When you're driving it, you feel more nimble than the Hummer. You feel that quick acceleration. It's not as powerful, or I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't feel as much power or muscle as the Hummer, even though the Sierra and Silverado may have more horsepower. Mm. But they just felt more like a sports car, if that makes sense. Like every time I drove the Cybertruck, I felt like I was driving a sports car or like mm-hmm. like a Model S, as opposed to a truck. And, right. you know, you could love that or you could hate that. I enjoyed that. And I felt like the Silverado and the Sierra were the same thing. They drove in that respect. When you're in it, you don't feel like you're driving a truck. Now, you don't have steer-by-wire. Maybe the suspension isn't as nice or whatever. Different people are going to have different opinions. But that's the way I felt. I felt like when I was in the Sierra, because that was the one I test drove, it was reminiscent of the Cybertruck, where it's like, as I'm driving, you forget I'm in a truck, mm-hmm. you know, something as heavy as a truck, as opposed to the Hummer. The Hummer, the whole time I'm driving it, I'm like, I'm in this big vehicle. Mm-hmm. So
I guess on a scale from one to Cybertruck, where would you put this, the Denali, like Silverado combo?
Okay, so one to Cybertruck. What number is Cybertruck? That's the question.
It's Cybertruck. No, I guess it's a 10. Okay. 10 being a Cybertruck.
So one to Cybertruck. In what regard? In the driving aspect?
Yeah, yeah. Just in how it handles. Because you said it drives like, it feels like a Cybertruck when you're driving, well, which is very interesting.
It doesn't, okay, it's hard to explain. It doesn't drive like a Cybertruck, right? Because okay. you're missing the steer bar. But it's reminiscent as far as like you're in a truck, but you don't feel like you're driving a truck. Okay. So that's what good. I mean when I say it drives like a Cybertruck.
Interesting.
But Drivability, I would say 1 to Cybertruck, Cybertruck being a 10, the highest number. It's an 8.
Good.
You know, it's yeah. solid. It's a solid, solid vehicle. Once again, in the video, when I saw the range number on the truck and the sales guy, you know, he cranked up the charge to 100% to show me what the range would be. And it was at 455, I believe, for the Silverado and 460 for the Sierra.
Impressive.
I was just like, come on. You know, I understand much larger battery pack. So charging time, charging cost, all that is a factor. But man, but
it makes up a big difference when you're towing, because assume you're going to get half efficiency. At least that's 200 plus miles. Like that's way better than the Cybertruck.
That was the first thing I thought of when I saw that number. I thought, I need to tow with this.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do the same loop that I did with the Cybertruck and see the difference. So I don't know.
Did you notice a significant difference between the Silverado and Denali? Because the Silverado doesn't have the four-wheel steering, does it?
No, it does. It does. I know that there's variants that don't have it.
Okay.
But the RST was the top-of-the-line trim for now. He did allude to a possibility of a high country. But, you know, Mark was talking about the AT4 and the Trail Boss. So my sales guy, he actually texted me yesterday and said that he just got word that the Trail Boss is getting real close. And so, you know.
That's a good sales guy.
Yeah. He's a sales guy. Yeah, you know? Yeah. So,
I mean, I hope that's true. That's the other thing, too. Like, if you could take A to B with both, we'll just call it the Denali. I won't even mention the Silverado. Denali to the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
You're really missing that off-road capability still. It's the same way I feel about the Lightning. Like the Lightning, I feel like is comparable. It doesn't drive probably as nicely because it doesn't have the four-wheel steering, but I still see it that way. It's like, okay, I'm not going to take the Lightning off-road much, but I would, you know, the Cybertruck.
Yeah, that's my biggest reservation with the potential of a Silverado or Sierra for my needs, because I want to do a lot of off-roading. I have, you know, the Cyber Odyssey guys, Brian and Jerry.
Go to Glamis with it, you know?
They literally, Brian just invited me to the next Cyber Odyssey, which is in 2 weeks. And he's like, hey, I hope you have something by then. You know, that's kind of the circle that I run with, right? And I kind of need something that's going to be somewhat capable. I did go into the off-road menu in my video, and there's no settings. There's nothing in there. It's literally just like you're pressing a button, and it's telling you it's going to do some, you know, traction things for you, you know, to help you when off-roading. But is that truly off-roading? I mean, I guess there's only one way to find out, but do I want to spend $80,000+ to find something out that now I'm not happy with? I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of events, we have the Cyber Rodeo coming up next week.
Nice.
Actually, about a week and a half from now. So if you do have a Cybertruck and you're listening, definitely look on X. I know a lot of people have been posting the registration link. If you just search for Cyber Odyssey Part 2, you'll see it. And that's exciting, too, because I'll have the Lightning up there to see, you know, how it does off-road. So that's kind of why I'm curious, but I'm also just excited to see a bunch of Cybertrucks again. So far, we've got about 200 signed up, and we're trying to go for 500, if possible.
Wow.
Last year's goal was 100, and they had a little over 100.
That's 500 is a lot. But the numbers are there, right? Especially in Texas. I mean, there's 500. Well, there's more than 500, but in Texas. I mean, Texas is large, but I'm sure in your guys' area, there's a lot. So I'm sure you'll be able to find them. Speaking about that, though, we were talking in our chat earlier today about buybacks. I'm getting, you know, obviously that's what I've done. I did a buyback. I did it because of all the inverter issues I was having. And I promise you, if I wasn't having those issues, I would not even think about getting rid of the Cybertruck. Kind of went that way for me, unfortunately. And I had to make a decision. And so that's the reason why I did it. But I'm having more and more friends that are doing buybacks on their Cybertrucks. And obviously, these are older VIN numbers, you know, the early VIN numbers, I should say. And so, but I've also had a few friends, they've done the buyback and then immediately went and got another Cybertruck. you know, they don't have YouTube channels or mm-hmm. you know, anything like that to where I'm kind of maybe dragging it out a little bit longer than most, but it's because, you know, content yeah. trying to, and I'm also curious. I'm also curious to see what's out there. And, like I said in the podcast before, that I really, really want something to like convince me, go get that.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I need to make a decision. I probably will have something in the next week, I would say.
So on that, quickly, though, R1T is totally out the window? Is that a no?
R1T, well, yeah, I don't think I'm getting R1T.
I mean, I assumed, but I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to be honest, right? I just feel like it's a real, I like the car. Mm-hmm. I like the truck. I just don't know. It has the off-road capabilities for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the size. And that size is great for a lot of people. Because, I mean, how many Cybertruck owners do we know that have said, I've never owned a truck before? I don't truck things. I don't, you know, I just bought it because it's cool and I like Tesla and I want to support them and all that, which is great. You know, I'm mm-hmm. glad they did it. But for those type of people that sit there and say, I just need a truck to kind of like just go to Home Depot, you know, or just mm-hmm. kind of, I want to buy furniture and I don't want to be shoving it into a minivan or something. You know, R1T is fantastic. For me and what I would be doing with it, with work and things like that, mm-hmm. I don't think so. Now, you asked the specific question. That's why I kind of smiled and stuff. R1T? No. R1? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess, because, yeah, if you're throwing out the work needs, R1S could be totally open.
I think what the way my brain works, and it's obviously maybe a little cuckoo, is, and I said it when I went and looked at the Hummer. As soon as I saw it in person, I saw the bed size on the Hummer truck, which is bigger than the R1T.
Mm-hmm.
I went, this is too small, even though it's probably a great size for 90% of people. But for me, I said, this bed is probably too small. And if I was going to get a Hummer, I just get the SUV. And the reason mm-hmm. for that is because I would just sit there and go, I'm not even going to even consider it for work. It's not right. a work truck no more. It's just an SUV that I'm going to use on road trips and for content and videos and things. And that's what that is. No longer is it a work truck. And I feel the same way with the R1T. Is if I just get an R1S, then it's an SUV. It's a family car. That's what mm-hmm. I'm using it for. I don't even think about putting anything in the back. And yeah. then it's just, and you know, maybe that's the wrong way to think about it, but I don't know. That's
the only thing that I missed, though, even with the R1S, like now having like a proper frunk with the Lightning, like it almost feels bad to have the frunk on the R1S. Whereas, like, at least with the R1T, the inner cabin storage and mm-hmm. the bed kind of make up the difference of that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you think about, like, I think someone mentioned I saw an X today that they were talking about the full week's worth of grocery tests as, like, if this should be the standard test for a frunk, which, yeah, that totally could work with the R1S and the R1T, but it's still not enough, in my opinion. Like, I couldn't put a full set of golf clubs as well as, you know, groceries in the frunk, where I can do that in the Lightning. But at least with the R1T, you have the tonneau that closes, so you could use the bed space.
Well, from what, maybe on the second generation, I think on the first gen, they discontinued the tonneaus. So I think you can, like...
Really?
I believe so. But if I was to, you know, get an R1T, brand new one, it'd probably mm-hmm. be the second gen, and it's going to have... even in my video, when I hit the button, and it was the second gen R1T, and Sherwin, who was with me, and he's a Cybertruck owner,
mm-hmm.
and he's an R1T owner. So that's why I was really happy that he mm-hmm. was able to come with me and look at the Rivian with me. Because he comes from both sides, right? Like, he has the Cybertruck viewpoints and then also the Rivian. But when I hit the tonneau to open it, it started like rattling and shaking and doing this weird stuff. Actually, you know what? I think I'm wrong. I think it was a first gen that we were looking at, because mm-hmm. he mentioned they made the slats smaller. So mm-hmm. I might be wrong, but that thing was shaking all over the place. And he said, yeah. He goes, yeah, there's issues with the tonneaus.
It's so interesting. Yeah, cause one of our rentals actually with the Cybertruck was a group that, like an EV kind of startup group, and they drove their R1T first gen across country to Austin for, I think it was South By that they came in for. But yeah, they showed me the tonneau, and the same exact thing. It was pretty
Yeah. And Sherwin was actually trying to convince me, because I was talking about the bed size, and he was talking about the gear tunnel, like you, and he was saying, well, you have the gear tunnel. That's adding extra space for you. And I go, yes.
Which you can access from inside of the vehicle, which is cool, yes, too.
Like, that was actually really cool.
You put a cooler back there, and you literally have your passenger go.
That's literally what he said.
Toss you a beer while you're driving down the dirt.
Yeah.
Down the road.
Why wouldn't we do that, you know?
Only off-road.
Well, yeah, of course, you know. Unless you have the MagBack little...
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, well, we didn't talk about that. I'm pretty sure that was an April Fool's thing, right?
So, I think I'm pretty good, and obviously this is not going to be a good example of it, but I think I'm pretty good at, like, diagnosing a April Fool's joke when I see one. But I'm going to go ahead and pull this up.
I mean, it was semi-plausible.
Well, here's the thing. So anybody that knows, MagBack is somebody that I work with on my channel. And so they sent me an email late on, when was April? Today's Wednesday. So on Monday, late Monday evening, they sent me an email stating, hey, here's a video. And I didn't, all transparency, I didn't read through the email. I just read like kind of like, please just share with your audience. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. But I immediately watched the video and I went, this doesn't really make sense. And I sent it to Chase and Will, but let me go ahead and play it for everybody. And then we'll kind of, let's see. There we go. I don't know why the Nutty Professor is there, but.
From the team who brought you the MagBack Tesla Charger and rim case comes a product so advanced, it should be illegal. Tired of your Tesla nagging you like a digital backseat driver, asking if you're awake, focused, or even still alive? Introducing FS.
You're even alive.
Revolutionary magnetic device that helps your Tesla see what it needs to see. Just snap it on, flip it down, and voila. Your Tesla sees a wide-eyed, responsible citizen, even if it's capable of something wildly irresponsible. Let's explore the possibilities. If you're running late to work, get ready on the go. Exploring a new gambit? Game on, friends included. Wearing a full VR headset while flailing like a maniac? Still safer than half the drive on the road. Strumming a ukulele with lane assist? Music to my ears. And of course, watching a full movie with popcorn in surround sound. At 70 miles per hour, FSD Seaver. Show the camera what it wants to see. Eliminate the nagging and stay productive.
I mean, at a certain point, you got to realize they're like, okay.
We're attempting responsible adulting. Side effects may include spontaneous productivity, uncontrollable grins, and the urge to nap.
So that they sent that to me, and immediately I message you and Will, and I go, this is like a lawsuit.
You're like, they're getting in trouble for this.
Yeah. And then I think it was you that went, I think it's April Fool's. And then it hit me in that moment. I go, oh my gosh.
It was just weird that they sent it out the night before. And they even tweeted it out the night before.
Did they?
Yeah. So that's where like I caught them on it. I'm like, oh, it looks like they hit the button a little too early.
But yeah.
That's where it added a little bit of plausibility to the joke, I guess.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then immediately after, I just started laughing, and I sent them email back just going, oh my God, I can't stop laughing right now because you guys just, I got got. But also, another like kind of, I don't want to call it necessarily viral, but there was a, let me see if I can pull it up. There was a video that circled around, oh, here it is. Let me go ahead and open this up, that went around this week that I wanted to share because my gosh, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah. So this is good. This is one of the angles, too.
Yeah, so it's kind of setting this up. I don't know. Do you know where this is located?
It's up in Dallas. It's a Lake Grapevine.
Oh, yes, Lake Grapevine. So there's a Cybertruck that's essentially become a boat.
Yeah.
You could see here.
Which, and this is actually kind of towards the end of the issue, but it's like we saw it from the other angle prior, like you can kind of see this is a big boat ramp that has like multiple, I think it's just got a couple of entrances, but it looks like they just go straight out into the water and they're like, all right, let's test it out and see what's going on. And in the first little bit of it, they got stuck. They were just like out a little too deep, And I thought that, you know, everyone was kind of like on edge seeing if they were going to make it out or not. And they eventually did. And then this is kind of the resolve of that, that they were able to make it all the way through.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. I seen another video. I was trying to find it right now. I can't seem to find it, but yeah, I don't know. It almost seems like they did it on purpose.
See the jet ski?
Yeah. Yeah.
The jet ski just slosh him.
He Cole rode him.
Yes.
Look at this.
Maritime Cole rolling.
Boom. And you see it Rude. Go right over that windshield, so you know they get wet.
Rude. But the thing is like, yeah, if you search around for it, you see if you find the other angle, what it looks to be, it's a situation that if you see it all the time with like trucks that like back in way too far and they keep on going and they completely like it's disabled the whole vehicle. You swamp the engine, you're totaled the vehicle.
Yep.
This type of truck was in a situation that would total any other vehicle and it was able to get itself out, which is crazy. But yeah, this is the kind of stuff and I'm like, okay, this shows, you know, some real capability that this thing could do that other trucks can't. Maybe EV trucks could, but I doubt it. Like, I wouldn't put my money on seeing, you know, a Silverado EV do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know about, I don't know if it could do that. That's pretty wild. I just want
wet.
The what?
Without getting wet.
But yeah. I wonder what happened there. Like what you're saying, were they launching something? No, because they didn't have a trailer on it.
Nah. I think this was like, this is a hold my beer comment that they're like, all right, let's try it.
Yeah, they just
almost lost it, but yeah, they were able to pull it away.
Yeah, they just went for it. So
it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that one. But I also wanted to get into, let me see if I close this real quick. I wanted to get into some of the, actually, you know what? Because we were talking about the Sierra and all that, and Mark brought up the Sierra 8R. Let me mm-hmm. show that real quick. So Mark's hitting it right on the head, and this was something mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about. So right here, you can see it says the 2026 GMC Sierra EV now starts $27,500 cheaper. Damn. And they're releasing more variants, right? Because as of right now, the Silverado has a work truck, the WT trim, they have a LT trim, and then they have the RST trim. The Sierra only has the Denali trim. So that's a little bit more plush, a little bit more luxurious.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're offering what they're calling, obviously, the AT4, which is their off-road variant, and then also the Elevation trim. And so you can see here, it says the GMC Sierra EV is adding an entry-level Elevation trim and an off-road focus AT4 for 2026. Thanks to the new models, the cost of entry falls from $89,900 to $62,400.
Huge.
And that's probably for the Elevation trim. There's not a whole lot of information on the Elevation, I believe. There's some speculation, but you can see here in this image that's the AT4 trim, which is, I mean, it's a very good looking vehicle, mm-hmm. in my opinion. We're looking at the screen where it shows the infotainment screen. Let me ask you, Chase, what's your opinion? The Silverado has more of a landscape screen setup where mm-hmm. it kind of has the cluster that's in front of the driver and then the middle screen kind of almost mimicking like one large screen, even mm-hmm. though it's not. And then the Sierra has two separate screens. And one's in portrait, the middle screen's in portrait mode.
Mm-hmm.
What's your preference? I mean,
I can't really talk because the Lightning also does have the big portrait screen, almost exactly like that, where you have the portrait screen and the physical dial in the middle. Like, I'm not a fan of it in general, but I'm also not a fan of, you know, the skinny landscape view. Like, if anything, I would actually prefer what the Cybertruck is doing. Like, it's just one screen. Now there is, like, now that I've gotten used to the UI and how everything functions in the Lightning, there's some things that I do like, and I'm getting used to like seeing everything. Like, what I do like that they're doing here, and the Rivian does as well as the Lightning, is they have redundancy in controls and information. So it's like you can, a lot of the, okay, like music is on. It's like you can either see it in your main view, so you don't really have to like look down from the street very much, or you can see it on the main screen. You can get information in two different places, which I think is a nice thing to have that almost I wish the Cybertruck would have, but it would also kind of ruin the clean style and aesthetic there.
Here's how the Cybertruck could have done it. This has a heads-up display.
Ooh, yes, that's what I was going to say too.
Which I've never had a heads-up display in any vehicle that I've ever owned. So that was new to me when I did the test drive. And I went into it when I saw it. It was just showing me my speed.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was telling me that, Alex was telling me that I can change that to where it can show me what's on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It could show me what's happening with the navigation. And I'm like, okay, Tesla, if you wanted a very simple design and you didn't want two screens, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand. That's fine. But why not do a heads-up display?
Yeah.
And give you that issue. Access. And because when I was driving and I could, it's right there, but it's not distracting. I don't know. I liked it. I like that feature.
Even just this last weekend, my brother came into town. He rented a C8, so a Corvette.
Yeah.
And they too, it has a really nice like heads up display that gives you really important information that you would have in situations where you don't want to look down. So like if you ever had the chance to drive around track, highly recommend anybody go drive a fast car around an actual racetrack. Really fun. But the one thing that any teacher will tell you to do is when you're driving a car around track, you don't look down at your speedometer. You're not worried about how fast you're going. You're always focused on the track. Looking down at information is not looking in front of where you're going. So that's bad. So to counteract that, you get the heads up display and you get all the information where you're already looking. So in the case of the C8, he actually had G-force monitors. So like with G's going left and right, you saw that in real time. So like if you're trying to like take a corner, you know if you can take it harder or not, depending on your traction. Which is kind of cool, like having all the information in a heads-up display. I think it's underutilized, but it's cool to hear that has it. I had no idea that Denali had it.
Yeah, it was something that I wasn't expecting, and so I really, really enjoyed that. I know we're kind of like bouncing all over the place in our conversation, mm-hmm. but another thing that it had was the rear-view mirror.
Oh,
the
yep.
screen, just like the Hummer, had the screen on there, and it's just, don't get me started.
There's a couple key things. That's where, like I said, if I switch back over to a Cybertruck, that I'll miss about the Lightning. Like the frunk is amazing. Like that's the perfect frunk.
Yeah.
And which I will say, I mentioned in the chat, there is only one outlet in the frunk of the Silverado Denali, which I think is a mistake.
Because how many does the Lightning have? Wow. Wow.
Yeah. 11 total throughout the entire truck.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. So four in the frunk, four in the bed, 240 in the bed, and then three in the cab.
Yeah, you're ready to power a whole city.
Literally, like that would be the backup plan for our house. If we lose power, get enough extension cords to run it wherever you need to go.
You could 100% do that. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, the there's things that I definitely like about all these vehicles. I mean, everything I saw, the Hummer, there's things I liked. Mm-hmm. The Hummer, there's things I loved. The Rivian did things better than I thought, so that was a surprise. And then the Sierra and Silverado were great. Somebody actually made a comment that said, you should just wait for the second-gen Cybertruck. I'm like, I can't wait that long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would do that, but man, that's a long time.
Yeah, the first gens are going to be affordable here soon, so.
Yeah. But going back to the Sierra and the new Elevation and mm-hmm. And AT4, you can see right here, here's a kind of a breakdown of what the pricing looks like. So the Elevation standard range, 62,400. The extended range, 70,000. The That's AT4 cool. extended range is 79,000. And the max range is 80,000. So you're back into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see here, when you're looking at the Denali with the max range, you're at $100,000. So it's actually nice just to see that there's some, you're having options. You know, that's one thing I do like about the Rivian is you can go on their website and there's a bunch of different options of how,
mm-hmm.
if you're worried about the price, you can get it less range, less features, but you can get into a Rivian for a certain entry point. But if you want to just kind of go all out and get every feature, then it's going to cost you.
Right.
And there's a bunch in between. We know right now Cybertruck, there's just the Cyberbeast and the all-wheel drive, and then it's pretty much kind of...
Right. Which, I mean, we've mentioned it before, is that that's kind of my pet peeve about all these classic car manufacturers. Like, just make it the one trim. Don't nickel and dime us all the way down.
Yeah.
You know? If but anything, like Tesla's doing, it's like, change the range of like, all right, you got a bigger battery here and lesser battery there. Like, that's okay. But it's like, all these different trims, that's where I get grumpy.
That's where your age starts to show.
Yeah. Like, just give me the thing. Like, Ford's the worst, I think, out of all of that, by the way. Because they even changed, like, the portrait infotainment gets shrunk down to a really small screen on, like, the base level Lightning.
Well, Mark's got it perfectly. He says, we're talking about the Lightning, four in the front, ? And he goes, one for the coffee maker, one for the toaster oven, one for the pizza oven, and one for the blender for margaritas.
That's perfect. What about the washing machine?
Yeah, the washing machine. Yeah, you could hook up everything on that thing. I didn't realize it had four. That is
four, and then also has the under storage that has a drain plug, so you can make it a cooler, like in the back of the Cybertruck.
Yeah, they did a lot of that stuff. The Ford, and you know what's funny is I didn't even have the Lightning. To be honest with you, I didn't have the Lightning on my list of like, let me go test drive, but.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like I should.
If you do, make sure it's a Lariat or above. Well, don't even mess with anything else. Ideally, you can get a Platinum because then you can play around with all the newest stuff. And there's even newer features they've added into 2025. There's now like seat massagers in the front. So there's a lot of crazy stuff that's cool. And I guess if you're in the market for a Lightning, 2022 is kind of like probably the best, or not the best. 2022 is a good year because they threw in a lot of stuff that they then took out and made optional in 23 and 24. But definitely do your research on what you want out of it. Because like even the scale, I guess, was an added feature they had in the beginning, but now it's an option you can add on later. So like if I go down and buy dirt, the bed has a scale so I can measure how much dirt I'm actually getting.
Really?
In lifetime. Yeah, it's really cool.
So, oh man, I like that.
I mean, I know you're looking for like a work truck, and I think you definitely need to consider the Lightning if work is the priority.
No, that's actually valuable because, yeah, at work, I know what I have back there,
mm-hmm.
weight-wise.
Yeah, or you know if you're getting cheaped by like 50 pounds or not.
That is true. And in my business, everything's by the weight.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Makes sense. And I'll be honest with you. The reason why I kind of like, because I've been searching, there's not a lot mm-hmm. of Lightnings around me. Like I have a dealership down the street from me and they never have any Lightnings.
Yeah. People have either bought them or they're also scaling back on production.
That's what I think it is.
At one point,
maybe back in January, they had like eight of them there and mm-hmm. it was always kind of rotating. And probably since late February, I haven't seen one there. I drive by it every day and mm-hmm. I haven't seen one there in like a month and a half. And I'm like, if I saw one right now, I'd probably stop and, you know, hey, can I test drive it? And I'll do a video on it. And it's like, I have to go find a dealership. I think the closest one was like in Long Beach or something. I don't know, or deep in Orange County that.
Yeah. I mean, even like, across the country, they're kind of few and far between. Like I'm just looking at like Carfax right now and looking for the exact same thing, 2022 Lightning Platinum. There's one in Ohio, one in Florida, one in New York, one in Dallas, and then one in Illinois.
Just one.
Yeah, I mean, they're very few. Like,
yeah, so that's tough.
But the great thing is that, honestly, for what you're getting out of it, they're honestly a great, great price. Like, oh, man, I wish I would have saw this one when I bought, because 31,000 miles for 48,000.
Wow.
That's a great price over in Ohio. 22,000 miles for 51. Yeah, I mean, it's a great time to buy one of those. Like I said, I did it myself.
So. Well, I wanted to get into it. We're talking about other manufacturers of EV vehicles. So this week, some of the manufacturers came out with their Q1 of 2025 numbers and mm-hmm. their deliveries. And so I wanted to show some of that information. Let me go ahead and share my screen again here. So as you can see, right here, this is for GM. They sold a total of 31,886 EVs in Q1. You can see the Equinox was their leader. The Blazer EV was second. Lyriq was 4,300. That was their third. And then you can see the Hummer and Silverados were right there. Mm. And the cool part is you could see the year over year, they're all in the plus, which is nice to
see. Blazer EV, though, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, the Blazer EV. It's almost 1,000 percent higher than last year, which is great. And then the Hummer, 108%, and the Silverado, 124%.
Makes sense, because I've definitely seen a lot more Hummer EVs, like, in the wild now.
Yeah, I'm seeing them more and more. So that's really cool to see that GM, you know, the numbers are going up for them, and they're continuously releasing new vehicles. Like we were talking about Ford, it almost seems like Ford's wanting to just get out of the game because their numbers don't seem to be as strong. Right here, actually, here's Ford's numbers now. If you look at here, in Q1 of 2025, they sold 22,550, so much less than a lot lower than GM. But the big thing is that they only have three vehicles, and one of them is a transit van. The Lightning, they only sold 7,000 Lightnings in Q1, and that's negative 7%. So that's not great. The Mustang Mach-E is up 21%.
But who's buying that? Come on.
If Will was here, Will, where are you? We got to get Will on the phone. Well, like, Will,
I agree.
Take
with
a 10-minute break.
Like, there's so many things I don't like the Mach-E, but if it's selling, and that's the thing, I think if anything, it's probably Ford's like staple like intro to EV car.
It is.
It's, you know,
but I mean, when you're comparing just these numbers to GM, I mean, immediately you see that GM is outselling them. But GM also has a lot more vehicles, and they're continuously coming out with more. So what does that tell you? GM is kind of seeing EVs as a seller for them. And Ford, it kind of seems like you were just mentioning, it seems like they're kind of scaling back and almost like getting out of the game. So that's interesting, and it's something that I'm going to be watching very closely as the year goes on, because I think that's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Ford does, because, you know, they're one of the biggest car makers in the world.
Yeah.
Passing by this is new supercharger that Tesla is building, but we're not talking about that right now. Lucid in Q1 sold a little over 3,100 vehicles, that's up 58%. So positive for them. Numbers are low, but, you know, Lucid is a more luxurious, I guess you could say, or higher price point vehicle. You know, a newer manufacturer, so it's kind of understandable. I'm hoping they can survive, though, because, you know, there's a lot of talk of them hurting right now. And then I wanted to get into Tesla, and this is where it kind of just goes back into how Tesla is just dominating, right? Tesla delivered almost 337,000 vehicles in Q1. That's just crazy. But when you look at it, Model 3 and Model Y just continuously dominate for them. They delivered 320, almost 324,000 of that number. So, and these numbers are a little less than what was expected from Tesla, but Elon is noting that because of the change from the Model Y lines, switching lines for the new Model Y and going away from the old Model Y, that kind of slowed things down for them a little bit. And then it also goes into, I was reading as well that, you know, when you have like an iPhone and you know that the new iPhone's coming out soon, you're not going to go buy the old one. You're going to wait till the new one gets released.
Yeah.
You know, and I know some people that were doing that as well, that were calling me because they know I do Tesla content. And they were asking me, should I wait for the new Model Y or should I get the old one? And then I would talk them through, you know, try to figure out what they were looking for. You know, that's on people's minds. Like, what do I do? You know, my sister is actually, she has an older Model Y right now, and she's, you know, been asking me, you know, hey, what's up with the new Model Y? You know, mm-hmm. is that something I should be interested in down the road? So, but still, at the end of the day, I mean, we're talking about GM, 32,000 or 33,000 vehicles sold in Q1, 22,000 for Ford, 3,000 for Lucid. And then you're talking about almost, you know, getting close to 400,000 for Tesla.
Crazy. I mean, it's monstrous. But even, it's funny, I have a friend that did the opposite, where they heard the new Model Y was coming out and they jumped on the deals on the old ones.
Yeah.
Because they were really, 100%. You know, really trying to offload those as much as possible.
Yeah, that's where I actually, okay, let's get into that a little bit. I actually, if you go on Tesla's website, you can no longer buy older.
Not even an inventory?
No. So let me,
interesting.
Here, watch. Let me share that real quick. So anybody that was looking for a Model Y, now I hope they didn't change something. And then now I look like, if you come over here, go to new inventory, and then you go to Model Y. Nothing.
What? Oh, interesting.
There's nothing. So they're really put. I can't imagine that there's none, but maybe there's none.
It may be. It might be sold out.
They could have just sold them.
They've literally gone through their inventory and now they're not even making the older version of the Model Y anymore. But I mean, that's more power to them.
Yeah.
That's the case.
That was interesting to me. The fact that there's none. So whoever got those deals, I mean, more power to you, because they were offering some really, really strong deals for the, you know, brand new Model Y, but the older version, you know. So
it's crazy. I mean, this is putting it up, because I was asking the same question of like, is there a better selling car than the Model Y?
No. No, there isn't.
Like it's a world's
best. To answer the question, best, no.
It's the world's best selling car now for 23 and 24.
Yeah.
I saw they sold 1.2 million units just last year alone.
You see them everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Like, if anything, don't buy a white Model Y, because you'll never find your car in the parking
lot. Oh, no. They're
especially in Austin.
Really? White's the color?
They're everywhere. I mean, like, because the thing is like, just the other day, I went on a drive, and I'm like, because I see them all the time. Like, I can't drive anywhere and not see any kind of Tesla. So I'm like, all right, let's figure out. So I went to go get lunch one day with my son and counted, yeah, like 24 Teslas.
Uh-huh.
On the way to lunch and back, including 3 Cybertrucks.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, they're everywhere.
You could literally, at least in California, you could drive down the freeway and it's like every, and I'm being dramatic, but it's almost like every other vehicle is a Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, the only contenders now are really the Toyota RAV4 is really high up there, and the F-150.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's where I'm wondering what Ford is really doing. Like, cause they're probably in so embedded in the market with the F-150, they really don't need to keep selling Lightnings or ramp up the production or worry about that as much. I don't know.
Yeah, Tesla, you could say what you want. I know people are saying Tesla's hurting and stuff, but they're still pumping out those cars. So, and their numbers didn't hit what people were wanting it to hit or were expecting it to hit, but it was close.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Elon's saying it's because of the new Model Y.
Oh, one we didn't mention, obviously, is Rivian. Their numbers this quarter.
Do you have that?
Company produced 14,600 vehicles up in Illinois and delivered 8,640 vehicles during the same period. So,
wow. So they produced,
more than Lucid.
Well, here's the thing. They produced 14,000, but only delivered and sold 8,000.
A deficit of about 6,000 they're sitting on. So that's probably where some of these deals are starting to come in. And we know they have inventory still. Well,
I know I've mentioned on the podcast that there's a lot near my home, because there's a service center near my home. And that lot is full. You know, talking about who we used to always laugh at the Cybertrucks sitting in lots, there's a lot nearby that has a lot of Rivians. Yeah. And so I'm sure they're moving them, but there's a lot of them. So,
I mean, unfortunately, with interest rates still high, they're going to have to come up with creative ways to move those. Otherwise, I still think their base prices are too high.
They are.
For what you're getting out of it. Like, they're doing everything correct, but still, I don't think it can compete with a high price. Like, I feel like at the end of the day, it's the market that the demand is going towards Tesla, not Rivian. So they can charge a premium for it, but I don't think Rivian can keep that premium up. But that being said, we know that lower prices are coming 2026. So we have the R2, the R3X. They're going to come in the economy model, which I'm super excited to see how those perform, because that's where they should be priced, in my opinion.
They need, just like Tesla. Tesla needed the Model 3 and the Model Y.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that they have those, we just saw the numbers and how the 3 and Y just outperform every other model from Tesla. Mm-hmm. And I'm very confident that as soon as the R2 and R3 come to market, that's going to really help Rivian, you know. And so, but then, you know, Tesla's also talking about making a more affordable vehicle actually later this year. So yeah, that's going to just push their market share even that much more.
The proverbial $25,000 or $20,000 Tesla or whatever is going to
be. I don't know if it's going to be 20,000, but
I think it'd be nice because of the, you know, the production on the horizon, as well as the big, you know, deal with VW. I know for a fact they have swapped engineers. They have like almost like a 50-50 swap. Rivian engineers going to VW, VW going to Rivian. For some reason, my friend circles are very connected to this stuff. Like I said, it's mentioned it once before that one of my friends actually works at the factory for Tesla. But yeah, this is some interesting stuff. So I'm really excited to see where Rivian's going to go. I think they place themselves in the market. You know, gotta love to see what they're going to do. I know you were going to bring this up about the new trademark they just filed.
Yeah. So Rivian filed a trademark for R2T.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird for me to say. I struggled to see even R1T, R2T. Yeah, it was kind of like, so it looks like, you know, on the, you know, heels of the R2 coming out next year. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're going in on with a small. That's kind of crazy to me though, because I really do feel like the R1T is small,
yeah.
And so you're going to go even smaller. It's like, what are we getting here? You know, what kind of bed in that trunk? I mean, I don't know, but
it kind of looks like actually the frame of like an R3X, but with like turned into a mini bed in the back.
It's probably like, isn't there like a Subaru that has like a little bed in the back? I think there's one of those kind of off-road adventurous vehicles that kind of has like a little bed. So
so there's not even, it's not even four-door, it's 2D. It's a coupe.
No, coupe? Well, this looks like it's just a rendering. Like somebody a mock-up.
But still, like that could be what they do is make it like a super small truck that
has like an El Camino back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see that.
And instead of a tonneau, instead of a roll-up tonneau, it could just do a clamshell at that point.
Yeah. And then you open it up and there's like a little monster back there that comes out, surprises you.
Yeah.
Has Bula.
I don't know. That's cool.
Yeah. That's
why I say that I think Rivian's a great, great buy even for their stock, because I think there's huge potential there. This is not financial advice, but.
But now, see, Chase, now when I edit this, I'm going to have to put a disclaimer. Thanks a lot. Pause it and then have a rolling disclaimer. I'm gonna have to get my lawyer on this.
Elevator waiting music of all the legal going through. But no, I think like I said, Rivian is probably the poised for being, you know, the Apple to the Android to Tesla. I think if anything, I know Lucid is hot on their tail. They're keeping up pace, but I don't know. I think Rivian's.
Well, Mark is coming in clutch today. He just commented, I think he helped me out, the Subaru Baja.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think that's the one I was talking about. They're kind of, Rivian's kind of along those lines of Subaru, right?
Like adventurous thing. Everybody's. Yeah. So
that could be kind of where they're headed with the R2T.
We're going full circle. D2. So we're basically,
I don't like that name.
Car design basically is restarting back at the 80s and then repeating, because we've already got like the remake of the DeLorean Cybertruck. Now we're just going back through all of them.
Exactly. I mean, just recycle and repeat. I mean, that's what the movie industry is doing, right?
Oh, but man, think about it. Like, think about it, a Subaru Baja, because there's some really cool tricked out versions with like nice off-road lights on the top of it. But if you put like a proper leveling kit or like the, if they did the air ride suspension like Rivian does, then you could get like an actual like Baja performing vehicle that the Subaru didn't.
No, I'm sure it's going to have great performance for, you know, people that want to go off-roading and kind of be quick about it and all that. I'm sure. It's going to be interesting to see. That's why I'm really excited about the R3X. The R3X, mm-hmm. I mean, that thing looks like a little rally car, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what, and it's just going to help with the price points, right? Because they're all going to be cheaper than what the Rivians are right now. So that's great.
And supposedly, it's probably a good timing because supposedly Subaru is working on a newer version of their Baja.
Oh, are they really?
2025 Subaru Baja. It looks like there's a design for it. So they're trying to bring that back. So, makes sense. Coin a little niche in the market.
Before we wrap up this episode, I wanted to go over, I talked about in the beginning of the podcast, kind of circling back to the Mark Rober thing, right? We don't need to spend too much time because we've already kind of done all that, so we don't need to do that again. I think we spent a whole episode on that. But there's been a lot of different people that have posted videos on YouTube showing them actually doing the test and showing the results. And so I kind of wanted to show this video. Mm-hmm. It's a quick video. We don't need to watch the whole thing, but I wanted to show this video that I came across that I think they did a great job. So as you could see here, I want to give them credit. This is Kyle Paul.
Kyle Paul. Two first names?
Yeah, Kyle. Yeah, they're Kyle Paul on YouTube. And you can see here.
Four.
So that's the first thing. I love the fact, and that was my criticism of Mark's video, is he didn't get into any of this. He didn't show what version he's on. He mm-hmm. didn't show anything. And I know he tried to play dumb. And you know, maybe he just doesn't know. I don't know. But he's an extremely intelligent guy. Hard for me to understand that he wouldn't know this or even think of this, right?
Right.
Nonetheless, we don't need to jump all over Mark anymore. Mark's already gotten beaten up enough. And I like Mark. But I love Kyle Paul because what he's doing is there's two things I really like. He's showing you exactly what software he's on, what hardware he's on. And then if you notice right here, the camera stays at this right over his shoulder, not on the side like Mark's.
Mm-hmm.
This is right over the shoulder. So you can see his hand placement and his feet, where his feet are placed during the drive.
100%.
Very clear. I mean, it looks like he filmed it in 4K. It's just, he did a great job. So let's go ahead and watch his video. So first drive, first test, he's at about 45, 43, 42. It's kind of curious why it's going down if he's in autopilot, right?
Mm-hmm. It's almost like it sees the wall.
Well, it's so it slows down.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hit the wall. It comes right. What would you say? That's probably 20 feet away from the wall.
Yeah, easily safe distance.
So now he's going on test hardware number two, showing his hardware and software again.
And time. I think that's important because I think one person that first did the test, they tested it with a Cybertruck with hardware 4. And there was discrepancy of the lighting being different in the photo as well as like time of day that they try to create it at. So it looks like they did a good job trying to match.
And on this test, he set it at 50 and it slows down. And same thing, probably, I think he got a little closer this time, but at least 15 feet. Let's see. This is a side view. No, he's probably about 20 feet.
There's a company out there, there's a print shop that's like, yes, keep doing this because we want to keep printing these giant banners.
Yeah, for reals.
In full color.
So he wants to go to 60 miles per hour. I think each test he went a little bit faster.
Came back down to 50, but still, yeah. I think he was wanting to have it driving for a little bit longer of a time still.
This is
good to see. Because if it's so easily provable, like it raises the question of like, okay, either A, Mark was disingenuous. He knew better and did otherwise. Or
I hope that's not the case.
Nice. Or B, he can maybe claim that it's just severely naive and didn't bother to do the research, which is odd coming from someone who was a NASA engineer.
Well, that and the fact that he said that test, that video was in the makings for about 18 months.
Oh, okay. Here's okay. Here, to to rule out all the benefit of the doubt, if it was in the making for the 18 months, is it possible that they could have recorded this late? Like, if I don't even think, no, because they would have had a, they would have had access to hardware 4, but would they have access to the latest V3 on hardware 4? Like, maybe it's before this came out, and that's...
Well, then I, then why not say that? You know, but you're getting beat up, right? Why not just sit there and say, hey guys, you know what? I have a backlog of videos 100%. That I've filmed. This was filmed 6 months, 9 months, a year ago, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
My vehicle is not the newest Model Y. It's 3-year-old Model Y, 4-year-old, whatever the case is. So maybe that's what it was. I'm sorry. I was using my vehicle and maybe I should have used a brand new one. That's my bad. But he didn't say that. He just, I didn't know. I don't know. He just played Tesla. Yeah, I'm going to buy another one. Well, go buy another one and then redo the test.
Yeah.
Go do that. You know, but yeah, this was less about beating up on Mark because I don't, I'm doing it, but I don't want to do it. It's more about just kind of giving Kyle Paul his flowers, as they say, because I thought he did a great test. Like you said, there's been a few people that have done a test similar, but I think his so far was kind of like the most well thought out, in my personal opinion. So he did a great job. So he's on YouTube. If you want to give him a follow, go ahead, subscribe to his channel. But I'm sure he's getting a lot of subscribers because his video is kind of taking off, which is as it should. It's a great video. Why didn't I think of it?
Which there is another. There is another Kyle Paul on YouTube, by the way. It's not the underscore Kyle Paul or Kyle underscore Paul.
Crap.
Okay. Totally different guy.
Okay. Let me show his channel to give him proper credit.
Sure.
Because we're using his content. I don't want to. Okay. Because now I'm getting an ad.
Pay for the premium, man.
No, I don't do that. I'm a broke YouTuber. So
Kyle Paul Tests.
It's Kyle Paul Tests is the name of his channel. So there you go.
Awesome. And I like that they also just blew through it just for science.
Why not? Yeah, have some fun with
but
it.
But that's actually what started this right after the Mark Rober video is someone got up and they tested a, they only had a Hardware 3 Model Y or Model X. And then they also tested the Cybertruck and the Cybertruck stopped right away. And they're like, hold up, Hardware 4, now we're talking. Like Hardware 4 is definitely a lot better
than 100%. Hardware
3 at this point. So if you're looking to run through some wild coyote walls, just make sure you have Hardware 4.
There you go. Don't get yourself into any trouble. So I just wanted to share that. I wanted to point that out because I thought Kyle Paul did a great job and wanted to show that reading some of the comments. So anyways, I think that's it for tonight. Chase, I appreciate you as always. Yeah. And I appreciate everybody that joined us in chat. Mark, you're great. LJ, thank you. Jay, Chris, everybody, thank you guys. Appreciate you guys. And we'll see you guys next week.